This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
So what does one do when the expert witness that you hired to come testify goes back to office workplace and starts recanting their testimony to coworkers, allegedly? That seems a little bit odd, and it actually ended up with an FBI visit to someone in the Koberger expert witness camp the last couple of days. Ann Taylor having issue with it, but at the same point, is this something you really can have issue with when they're going back and recanting testimony right after they gave it?
This is the most perplexing thing to me. You know, as I've said before, I got to caveat this. You know, the FBI and criminal investigations cover a wide swath of things. And my area of expertise is behavior and counterintelligence and things like that, and human behavior in general. And yet, the biggest thing that struck me with this one, I don't know why the FBI interviewed them. This is not an FBI investigation.
No. You know,
the FBI is a resource and a tool in the state's investigation. Why would, you know, and I get that the prosecutor asked two FBI agents to go interview Gabriela Vargas again. And I'm like, why would they ask the FBI? Why don't they send their own investigator? I mean, the whole thing is just like, it just fueled the defense's fire really well, I think.
Very much. And that's my initial question. Yes, it sounds real official. It sounds, oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this because we're sending two FBI agents to go and question her about it. But again, yeah, why was it not local? Why was it not just the local authorities who are investigating or state officials? Why is the FBI digging into this when Bill Thompson asked them to go and do it? I mean, I get it. I totally understand. If someone recants their testimony, yeah, you should probably figure out what the hell's going on there. Is this as big of a deal as it seems to be right now? Or is this just, look, we hired the wrong person for this job and it kind of gave us this hiccup, but it really shouldn't be affecting much of this case. We just got to...
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's a hiccup because genetics is genetics. And we all know that it's, you know, there's a slight margin of error on these things. And if she recounts some of her testimony because she didn't read the entire document as it said, okay. And the only other thing I thought of is maybe the FBI did the initial interview with her and the initial, so that's why the prosecutor sent them in to redo the interview or question her again. Again, that's the first thing that struck me with this whole thing, though, is why is the FBI still involved in this beyond like the lab? Because this is not what we do.
Yeah.
So it's just odd to me.
It does seem very odd as to why this is even taking place. It also seems odd to me why Ann Taylor is arguing it, though, as well. If it just looks, I mean, it looks bad on them that they hired somebody that did this. Why would you go and it's almost like they're doubling down on a bad expert witness?
Well, maybe, oh, who knows? I mean, like you and I have conjectured before, you know, I think she does all she can. She's part, you know, she's the writer, he's the author, and they're coming up with their methodologies. I think if she sees a gap someplace, you know, the only thing I was thinking is that because she hired this person, it gives it credibility if she's now defrauding her in some way, you know, because like, hey, even my best, you know, because you wouldn't think that the defense would bring in someone that's an expert witness and say that, hey, even this person says it's, you know, got problems and issues with the things that were used. I don't know. It's just, I'm still just curious about the why. I'm so sorry, Don. I'm so stuck on why is the FBI involved? Literally, when I read this new thing that popped up, the first thing I did was I researched as fast as I can, you know, why? Is this our case? Is this a federal case, state case? Because that was the first thing that struck me. Why did we go and do that interview?
Is there a simple explanation, though, for it? I mean, because there were probably a bunch of agencies involved in this throughout the investigation. Maybe, like you said, maybe they did the initial interview and that's why they went back. I don't know. Just it seems like anything and everything at this moment in time, Ann Taylor is really making a large deal out of. Some things, sure, that's your job. I get it. But others, I just don't know that I'd want to put a magnifying glass on things. When we're talking about some of the other things that have been brought to light, literally in documentation, is this idea that everyone is focusing on Brian Koberger's crotch. Now, this is literally in the documents. There had been some people that speculated on one of the video shots of him in the courtroom entering specifically. It did look like his fly was about halfway zipped up. I think anybody's going to make that that statement and point that out if with anybody, if this is what they're, how they're dressing as they walk into the courtroom, and maybe they didn't realize that as high profile as this is, but it certainly was far from the camera focus on most of the hearings that went on. Are they just kind of grasp at anything and try and get the cameras out with any reason they can possibly go for right now?
I would say so. I didn't even pick that one up. Just, yeah. Boy, the whole defense on this is, it's all over the place. It's seemingly.
It is.
It's one of those things that's kind of like shooting a shotgun and hoping one of the pellets hits. And yeah, it's the most puzzling thing to me because but again, I think it's a sign of desperation.
And it makes me wonder how many more random shots are they going to take out there that really don't go anywhere? And how will that end up affecting the credibility of the case from the defense standpoint? That seems to be their biggest concern, is credibility, making sure that the witnesses are not, or that the jury is not tainted. And those are good things to not want to have to deal with in your trial. You want a fair jury. You want all of it to go forward, but it feels like they're stirring the pot and almost creating issues where there maybe are none.
I really think at this point they're doubling down on their methodology. You know, so again, we've applied the behavior arcs of people's lives to Koberger and the other people we've examined. Now we can apply it to defense in this. This is their behavior arc. And when you said, you know, I wonder how much more they're going to do, they're going to continue to do it right up until, I think, the trial, because this is their behavior arc of constantly picking, going. Because I think what the attempt is, again, my conjecture is, they're, if they can get one seed of doubt with one person, it's going to save his life. And if all they're doing is keep trying with all these different things that might resonate with that one person that they don't know. So when faced with that insurmountable evidence, I think, against him, this is what you're going to do. This is the behavior arc they have, is just keep throwing it at the, you know, keep throwing it at it. Just keep shooting, keep going for something. I think they're hoping that something is going to stick, not for us as the general population. I really think that she's trying hard to sow doubt in whoever is in that jury.
I would agree. So delaying this now, and who knows when it will end up actually going to trial, next year, the following possibly, that also gives them more time to try and get death off the table, correct?
I think so. And I also think part of that too is, if you can delay it long enough, she can then make the claim that all juries are tainted, because who doesn't know about this? So I think, again, I think it's all part of that strategy. Her is the writer of his book and story of what he's trying to accomplish. And the father, too. I really think the father's probably heavily involved in the strategy as well.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts, and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.